Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Welcome to the Six Eyes Gospel Show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network for August 6th, 2023. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to make the vocalist. We are here. This is not a recording. We're alive. Oh, good afternoon, everyone. How's everybody doing?
I feel
good
like
afternoon.
A 10
How's
with
everyone doing?
Thumbs up and toes up, too.
Praise God. Thumbs up for me as well. And I guess we can say pause up, too, for Six Eyes Trumpet O'Hara. So we're going to have a great show. Once again, this is the Six Eyes Gospel Show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Phone lines are open at 424-243-9617. And hello to you all.
Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sunday. We are blessed to be here once again. Thank you for joining us. Hi, Six. Hi, Sister Ruthie. Hi, Sister Emily. And hi, Missionary Ken. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon. I've got two thumbs up.
All right. And my coin saying is two thumbs up, two toes up, and my crown is situated correctly.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds good. Once again, welcome everybody surrounding to the states, faraway countries. Welcome. We do appreciate you. We hope you bring a friend to share the gospel with us here. We're going to have a great show as always. Going to have a message from Pastor Bonnet coming up later on in the show. But let's start the show off with an opening prayer for Missionary Ken Wolfgang. Hope you all got your coffee.
All right.
All right. Well, Lord Jesus, we thank you for another day, Lord Jesus, and you we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you right now to take the wheel of this here program. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would touch each and every heart, each and every life, Lord Jesus, that's listening. We ask you to touch their hearts, give them something special, Lord Jesus, from this program that they can take with them and use, Lord Jesus, especially that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, I yield. Knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we could rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, Lord Jesus, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, we ask the same blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask for those out there, Lord Jesus, that are dealing with, first of all, Lord Jesus, losing somebody, whether from COVID-19 or any other disorder, Lord Jesus, we ask you to comfort them and touch them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, and comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there dealing with some sort of illness, whether COVID-19 or something else, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction, Lord Jesus, and heal them as you only can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you. Now, Lord Jesus, we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Now it's time for our scripture reading.
Thank you.
This is Proverbs 30, verses 5 through 14. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee, and thou be found guilty. There is a generation that curseth their father, and doeth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh how filthy or lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are not lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaws and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor off the earth and the needy from among men. And this was Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 to 14. And may God add a rich blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that beautiful reading, Sister Emily. And as you know, or you may not know, I am a father, Friday. I adopted a cat from the Animal Protective League, Six Eyes Trumpet O'Hara. He's 2 years old. And he's here. So, with four thumbs up, four paws up. So I'm excited. And you being a cat owner yourself, they said to let the cat warm up to me. So basically, the cat's going to meet me on his own terms. But he's here and he's happy. But he hasn't walked up to me yet. Okay, normally when somebody is having dialogue, there's an exchange. Sister Emily.
That was a pre-recorded reading, Six, so...
We gotcha.
Oh, there she is.
We got him on that pre-recording, huh, there, Ken?
Oh, boy. Hi, Sister Emily.
Hey, Queen, how you doing this morning, dear?
I'm awesome. I'm awesome. Yeah, he's waiting to... communicate back and forth with you about the cat.
After I lost mine, I love animals, but now that because of a situation where mine were taken, I'm like, I don't anymore.
Yeah, he probably just wants your advice. But I got one too. So we'll talk about that later. But again, welcome to the show, everyone. And
I was told to tell the entire crew howdy doody from Mama.
Well, tell her we said hello and we miss her. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. We don't have to have music. We don't have to have music. What was that, Sister Emily?
I said both thumbs up for me and all toes, too.
All right.
Amen. All right. So with that being said, how would you like to continue with the programming for today, Six?
We can have music or we cannot. It doesn't make a difference. We can have great conversation.
Okay.
And sharing my happiness. I'm happy. And that's about it with me. I'm about to get some coffee and proceed on with the show.
Okay. Well, Missionary Kim, what would you like to, is there anything you'd like to bring up?
Well, I'd like to hear some good songs.
Okay.
And I'm just doing this to joke with our boss man over there. I got a pot that will last me for several days.
Uh-oh. Okay.
You know, normally, Queen, when you buy a coffee pot in a store, you can only make up to 12, maybe 14 cups in one pot, right?
Right.
I've got a coffee pot that makes 100 cups.
Okay. Well, I have a question, Sister Emily. If you're making that much coffee, who's drinking all that coffee with you? Because I know you can't drink that much coffee, especially in one day.
That lasts me about 2 days.
100?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Well, you might.
I get hyper afterwards.
Do you get water in at all?
I gotta go get me some bottled water because I don't like to taste the tap water.
Okay, I understand that. But that's a lot of coffee for one person in 2 days. Oh,
yeah, and my doctor knew I'd be in deep manure.
Well, you're telling the world.
Well, he don't listen in that I know of.
Okay.
Oh, yes, but I do, Miss Emily. Yes, I do.
All right, Miss Mary Ken Bay.
And I understand you ain't even drinking your medicine like as you're supposed to.
We gotta get the what's his name?
You're supposed to have the flatticati cakes for your low blood pressure.
I'm the ranger, and you guys are Boo Boo and Yogi.
Uh oh. Well, Sister Emily, if anything happens with you drinking all of that coffee in 2 days. There's
how many cups does she drink?
She's 100 cups.
I've got a 100-cup pot coffee that I was blessed with.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 days.
That's impossible.
There's no way a person can
drink 100 cups of coffee in 2 days.
Well,
You would have to be drinking coffee every minute and a half.
Okay.
I always got a cup right here with me.
And how many cups have you had so far today?
That is down to like 10 cups now. So
you definitely got me.
Okay.
Five more double cups and it'll be gone.
Okay, well,
yeah, no,
I'm going to say this. There's five of us... That at least five of us that hear you saying this on air right now, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, well, 4, maybe 5. If for any reason you end up in the hospital, God forbid, we going to form a line, and each one of us are going to give you a spanking. Hello?
Yeah, well, you and Six are up in Cleveland on the missionary Kenneth Sister Ruth down here.
Doesn't matter. I have a car. We'll get somebody to drive.
And I'll hand my spanking down for Ken. Ken, I'm going to mail you my hand so you can whoop her ass.
Ooh,
amen.
Wait. Whoa, hold on, dude.
God. That's Bible term, Bible talk. Yeah, that's a lot of coffee. That's a lot of coffee to consume.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Yeah,
we want you to be careful and around with us.
Yeah.
Well, there's been times that 100 cups has lasted me at least 4. I've made it stretch that far.
One to two cups a day, no more, please. That coffee maker is for a buffet or for some type of meeting or conference or something like that. So you got to be careful. That's a lot of coffee, man.
That's a coffee maker for a business.
It's nice. We just don't want anything to happen to you because we care and love you.
Yes, we do. So take it easy on that, Joe.
I could mail it up there for you, Six.
I'm happy for my Keurig.
He's good with one, maybe two, but honestly, he drinks coffee, but he sips it all day. He'll have it in his coffee cup, and he basically sips the one cup all day. He may get a second cup, but he don't drink coffee like that. That I'm a witness to. But we all need to make sure we get in enough water. Right, Missionary Ken?
Okay, maybe he needs some coffee.
I think he's the one that needs his coffee pot over here.
Right.
You have to share some with a lot of cues.
Well,
Kenny's got one over at his house that's made like this, but I don't know what the coverage is on his.
Play some music, please.
I'm about to. Okay, hold on.
Yeah, let's boogie.
Let's go ask for Jesus.
I was looking for a particular song, but I'm not finding it right now. This one. Well, this is an old school song. I'll play this one while I look for the other one.
Through the years, I keep on toiling. Lord, I'm toiling through the storm and rain. Oh, I'm patiently waiting and watching for the Savior to come again.
When the I want y'all to help us do it. Lift your hands in this atmosphere and say, I am grateful.
I am grateful for the things
that you have done. Look at them and tell them, yes, I'm grateful.
The
victory that we won. Tell them I could go on and on.
About your works.
Because I'm grateful.
Praise you, Lord.
Lift your hands and say, flowing from my heart.
Thank you.
enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show.
God told Noah, God told Noah, told him to be
just a
little bit 32 cubits high, 50 cubits wide. Oh, it's gonna rain,
it's gonna rain.
Still alive.
made it through. See, I didn't lose. Experience loss at a major cost, but I never lost faith in you. So if you see me cry, it's just a sign that I'm still alive. Oh yeah, I got some scars, but I'm still alive in spite of the rain. He still has a plan for me, and it's working for my good, and it's building my testimony. I'm so glad I made it. Is there anybody in here have that testimony?
I made it through.
I made it through.
In spite of the storm. So glad I made it. I made it through. I made it through. So glad I made it. So glad I made it.
I could have lost my mind. I could have lost my mind.
I made it through.
But I made it through.
I made it through.
I wish I had a window. Is there anybody in here that's been through anything?
So glad I made
it. That you almost threw in the towel.
I made it.
But when you look back over your life, you realize I made it. I made it. Is there anybody in here? It's just a sign that I'm still alive. I got some scars, but I'm still alive. In spite of calamity, he still has a plan for me. It's working for me.
All right, all right. Thank you all for joining the Six Eyes Radio Gospel Show this Sunday. It is August 6th. To those of you who would like to speak, make sure you press the number 1 to join the conversation. I believe we have lost Missionary Ken, but hopefully he'll be joining us again. Welcome, Pastor Bonnet. And I'd also like to say, happy blessed birthday to First Lady Bonnet. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. How you doing on this
Amen.
Wonderful day? Hello, hello.
Well, hello, sir. How you doing?
All right, all right. God bless you. You and you and you and you and yes, even you. God bless you.
And welcome, you. Pastor Bonnet.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Wolfgang. Amen. God bless
you. You guys didn't lose me. I just had to change over to my cell because we, in the middle of the program here, experienced a power outage. So be praying for us.
Amen. Right. We got our cells on.
All right. We definitely will be praying for y'all's safety and everything get turned back on as soon as possible. And I'm thankful. I want y'all to, we thank God that my wife, her name made the woke list this morning, but it made it very early. Unfortunately, she's been feeling, as the comment will be, under the weather. She hasn't been feeling well since yesterday. And this happened actually last year. We was on vacation and she got felt ill day of the on her birthday. So we stayed in the hotel and then started the rest of the vacation afterward. I just told her just rest, and we thank God that she's alive. She's here, and we enjoyed the rest of the vacation afterwards. And so we have some things planned for her today, but I think we're going to have to postpone them until she's feeling better. But I'm thankful she is yet in the land of the living. And so I'm thankful. And I'm only telling you also that you will be praying, because we believe in the power of prayer. The Bible says that prayers are the righteous avail much. And so I'm telling my faith community, because I want your faith to activate with my faith. And as they're saying will go, we're going to put all the logs on the fire. Amen. Because the more logs on the fire, the hotter it gets. Amen. And we want God to touch our body. Amen. Touch our body, touch our mind, touch our spirit. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praying for a speedy recovery and happy, blessed day, born day, another year around the sun.
Amen. So we're gonna keep on keeping on. Amen. The dear Lord bless me with a wonderful message for the group today, and I believe it's going to bless somebody real good as we start this month of August with the emphasis on excellence. Excellence. And we're going to be dealing with excellence in so many different ways. Amen. I'm also going to deal with something else on the Motivational Monday. I'm going to be dealing with some other things along with excellence and service. There's some things that's going on in our world today, and we need to talk about these things. We need to talk about them. We need to have open discussion about them. We need the world to understand that just because you feel something don't make it real. There's a scripture that says that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Now, when it says the heart of man, it's not talking about the valve, that muscle, that organ that pumps blood throughout your body. But it is dealing with the emotional center of an individual. And God
said, I'm sorry, excuse me. Whoever is coughing, can you please mute yourself?
Amen.
Otherwise, I'll just mute all the lines.
That might be Lady Bonnie, because, like I said, she's not feeling well. I don't know if she was able to mute her line. Amen. I have to go back there in a second and check it.
Okay.
Nevertheless, the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? There was a time when in this world, if you said that you felt like this person or that person, that you had feelings of being someone else, they had a name for that, a category for that. Now, in our society today, there are certain groups that's pushing to make that, if you feel that you're a man and you were born a woman, that means you're a man. You're in the wrong body. Two problems with that. One, you don't have the organ to be the opposite sex.
And two, you say to God, you made a mistake, you are wrong. We're going to be dealing with that. That's something that we need to talk about. It is not a conversation of hate, but it is one that we as believers of Christ, followers of Christ, not fans, followers of Christ, we must stand for the gospel truth, period. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. All of us have error in our life. All of us can make mistakes, but we do not perpetrate living in sin of any nature, period. And we encourage all, especially those sins that leads to death, those sins we want to pray against, pray that God will open up their mind and their heart for understanding, that they will do what Christ said, repent, because the kingdom of God is now. Not some futuristic thing that's coming that when we die we're going to gravitate to. That's the other. But right now the kingdom of God is available while we are living on earth. And the kingdom of God is simply God's will, God's expression, God's ways. Those things for my life are available to me now. It's principle, all of it. So we're going to be dealing with that throughout this month as well. But we're dealing with the spirit of excellence. Excellence. Amen. And I've been listening to some things, been listening to some other content, and I see there's so many attacks that's coming against the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's so many people that are using their personal experience on how they feel to try to justify and preach against the gospel. Well, we know that to be the spirit of Antichrist, which the Bible warned us against. So we're going to be dealing with that later on. I must get back to the topic at hand. Amen. Excellent service. Have you ever gone somewhere, and I'm preaching. Dear Heavenly Father, before I even start, I just thank you for this day. Thank you for this radio station. Thank you for this platform. Thank you for those that are listening now. Father God, as I move forward to teach this lesson on today, I rebuke every demonic spirit in our atmosphere, anything that would try to hinder or hold back the word of truth from coming forward. I bind it in the name of Jesus. God, I ask that you will word my mouth, word my understanding, Lord God. Use the ears that are hearing, Lord God, that they may process what you have given me to share. They will process it to the fullest so that they will be able to use it to help others, to encourage others, to build others, to tear down those things that need not to be built up. God, I just pray that you will just have your own way in the midst of this service, God. Thank you now for this opportunity to talk about you. We love you today. Thank you for loving us first and teaching us how to love one another as we learn how to love ourselves. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. On today, I want to talk about a full servant of God, a full servant of God. This dealing with excellent service. Amen. A full servant of God should be excellent in service. If I can use that as a title today, or at least as a statement. A full servant. And we'll talk about that later. But a full servant of God should be, and I say should be excellent in service. Amen. One of the things that you will find about me as a preacher, I'm not going to teach you an exception to the rule. Amen. We're not going to teach you how to live in mediocrity. Mediocrity is another way of saying the bare minimum. Amen. When we sent our kids to school, we wanted them to bring home an A. And we only accepted C's when it was their very, very best. Because a C mentality is only good when that's your best. But when your best can be 100, when your best can be the full A, why in the world should you settle for a C? There's a book called, for those of you that like to read, there's a book for you dealing with that called Good, the Enemy of Great. Good, the Enemy of Great. Check it out one day and read it. It's a pretty thick book, but you will enjoy the read. Amen. So Good, the Enemy of Great. So this monthly emphasis is on excellence. And with the help of the Lord, I'm going to do my very best to teach about excellence. But let's make sure we're on the same page concerning the definition of excellence. Excellence is a noun meaning the quality of being outstanding, extremely good. So break this down to another analogy that we can use and identify with. When you get ready to go on a vacation, and depending on how your finances are and the desire of comfort you want, you will begin to look at the hotels or by their rating. You will look at what's called a 3-star hotel, and you will look at a 4-star hotel and a 5-star hotel. And we know that the cost between the two grows exponentially. It may cost you $89 to $120 in a 3-star hotel. But when you move to a 5-star hotel, then now we're talking about rent per day. Amen. The mortgage payment per day, that price jumps from $500 to $1,500, and depending on what country you in, that may be even $5,000 per night because of the difference. But what if you took your hard earned savings and you paid the full price to stay in a 5-star hotel, and that day, the service, the staff said, we're so good that today we're going to take it easy. We're going to provide everybody with a 3-star performance. I guarantee you, you'll be trying to figure out, can you get some cash back, find out, is there another hotel available somewhere? Because you're not going to spend your hard-earned money. You're not going to spend your savings on less quality than you paid for. So if it's not going to do then, why will it be okay later? What are you saying, Brother Preacher? I'm saying Jesus didn't come cheap. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever will should not perish. He gave his only son. He gave his very best. He didn't give us mediocrity. He gave us excellence. And in giving us excellence, he expects from us the very best that we can be. And so anytime I tell God, well, I showed up for an hour, but then we want God to stay with us all night. That's mediocrity. That's poor service. After all, we're supposed to be his servants, not him, ours. We have some things twisted. But to have an excellent service, once again, that definition, by definition, excellent is a noun meaning the quality of being outstanding or extremely good. Say it with me. He means 100. I know a lot of times we want to say, can't nobody be perfect. But when you go to school and there's 10 questions, on the exam and you get all 10 of them right, is that not perfect? Is that not outstanding? And you wrote it neat. All your handwriting was legible. So if you can get 100 there, can you not give God 100 in return? Excellent in service. You know how we are when we go out to eat. How dare the waitress or waiter serve us food on a dirty plate? The food can smell good. It can be top-notch. But if the plate is dirty, don't care how good the food smell or look, you gave it to me on a dirty plate. That is not excellent service. And even if the food is top-notch and the plate is clean and the utensils are clean, but you made me wait 1 hour to eat my meal that was supposed to take 20 minutes to prepare, that's not excellent service neither. God made my point on excellent service. We expect what is to be quality. We expect what is to be outstanding. We expect something to be extremely good. Extremely good. Let's say very good. So this month I'm going to be trying to talk about that, our service to God's kingdom. Last month I brought this person up about 2 weeks ago, two weeks ago. We were talking about Daniel. And Daniel chapter 6, we were talking about him having an excellent spirit was in him. Daniel chapter 6, let me read it for you. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3 says this in the King James. It said, then this Daniel was preferred above the president and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Remember, I told you that the realm that King Darius was over 120 different provinces. Because Daniel had a spirit of excellence, that means he showed up to work on time. He did what was required of him in the time that it was required of him. He worked and fulfilled his duties irregardless to what anyone had to say. So an excellent spirit was found in him. That means, hands down, without a doubt, Daniel was considered trustworthy. This King Darius was an ungodly king, but he was able to see the great quality of service in Daniel, and he was able to see a full dedication of one who truly trusts God to the fullest. When people look at your life and my life, can they see our dedication to God? Do they? Do they see our dedication to the Lord? Daniel's lifestyle was noted by all people observing him, far and near. That means if you looked in his direction and you paid attention to him, you knew he observed God. He obeyed God. He followed God. There was no question about it. Well, my two questions today, I have two questions, just two, for us to answer. That's question number one. That's question number one. How do others see or observe our service? When you and I leave the house and we come in contact, physical contact, visual contact with the world abroad, do they see a born-again Christian? Do they see a child of the Most High? Are they looking at true children of Elohim? That's just a simple question. What do they see? Have you ever wondered that about yourself? How do people see you? I know from a vain point, many people will say, well, I'm trying to make sure my wig on straight. I'm trying to make sure my liner is on right. I'm trying to make sure the dye in my beard is right. I'm trying to make sure my clothes dry, my tie tied up, my shoes are shiny and buffed. We take focus on the outer. We put consider amount of time on our appearance. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with making sure before you leave the house, ain't nothing hanging out your nose. Ain't nothing wrong with you making sure that you brush your teeth and I ain't mad at you because you put some whitener on so you can have a bright sparkly smile. And there's nothing wrong with your outward appearance being nice, looking good, so that people see you and say, Lord, have mercy. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But if they could see the inside, if they had examined the work effort behind you, your work ethics, your quality of service, what would they see? So question number one again is, how do others see or observe my service? Clothes, not the car drive. Not the house that I live in, but my service to the kingdom of God. How do others see? How do my secular job, when I go to work, when I punch the clock, day in, day out, not saying that I ain't never late, but am I always late? Do I always try to leave early? Do I try to find ways not to complete my assignment? How do others see my service? The life of Daniel demonstrated for us how to fulfill the Great Commission. Uh-oh. Commission? The Great Commission, preacher. That's what you're telling me? Go ye therefore teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe. To observe. All things I commanded you. See, do I go to sinners and say, why you cussing? Why you smoking? Why you drinking? Why you doing this? Or am I introducing them a better way called Jesus' way? See, Daniel demonstrated the power of God by not yielding to the power of man, by not submitting to false idols. So there he was in his day before Christ, fulfilling the Great Commission by living a life noteworthy. Wow. Therefore, let us also remember the barren fig tree. Do you know that story? The barren fig tree? Well, maybe you may not be 100% familiar with the story of a barren fig tree. So allow me to take you in the Bible and show it to you. So let's turn into the Bibles in the New Testament, Matthew's chapter 21. Matthew's chapter 21, verses 18 through 20. And I'll be reading King James, and you're welcome to read what version you have before you, but the story will remain the same. Now, there's another instance, but I'm just going to read it from Matthew's point of view today. Now, in the morning, as they returned to the city, he hungered. Jesus. What? You mean Jesus got hungry? Absolutely. Because not only was he told of God, but he was told of man as well. The deity of Christ and does not supersede his humanity. So just like we get hungry, he got hungry too. And I'm just going to speak from this male point of view. There's nothing more aggravating to me, almost nothing, more aggravating to me is to expect food around dinner time, 6, 7 o'clock in the evening, and get home after working all day, dirt from my head to my feet from doing lawn service. And I get home, I smell nothing cooking. Smell no food, nothing on the stove. Talking about aggravated, as hungry, and dirty. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. That's all right. There's nothing more aggravating is when you ready to eat and you knew food was supposed to be there and food ain't there. So I can identify with Jesus right here. He was hungry. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, fig tree. One version said that if he saw the fig tree afar off having leaves, having a sign that it bared fruit. Who's looking at our lives and wondering whether or not we got the fruit of the Spirit in us? We talk church. We say we go to, we say we love the church. We talk God. We say we love God. But when people need some counseling, we ain't got nothing for them. When people are looking for spiritual advice, we got nothing for them. Do what you feel. God will understand. The devil is a lie. That's heresy. When God allowed them to come down your path, and you mean to tell me the Almighty can't give you through the Holy Spirit a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge? This is not saying that you're a prophet. This is saying that you're a servant. You mean to tell me there's nothing you can say or not a prayer you can give to aid them? They might as well be naturally hungry. And all you saying, oh, well, be fed and be filled, you know, go in peace. No. So I can understand once again how Jesus must have felt being hungry. Because I myself still have to testify that sometimes, you know, that's why sometimes I call ahead. I done learned. I call ahead. Did you cook? No? Okay. That means I'm going to stop somewhere and get me something to eat. You know, I'm going to fix that. No, that's all right. Stay where you at. Do what you're doing. Don't worry about it because I'm ready to eat now. But here it is, he says. He saw a fig tree in the way. He came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. You know, time out for us being saved 10 years, and we can't help these newborn Christians. Time out for us being saved 5 years, and we can't help these newborn Christians. In this day and time, there's no excuse for us not to have a Bible app on our phone, tablet, computer. We have no excuse why not to know the Word of God. This don't mean you're going to understand everything is written in the Bible. This don't mean you're going to be able to follow all the rules and regulations that you may understand or read or believe. But you're going to have something to have an effort to build on, to live by. And that way you can help others. Your testimony of what God has brought you through should be able to help and encourage somebody. Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth and forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. What? And we're wondering why preachers are dying in the pulpit. Ministers are committing suicide. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. That's all right. I'm going to keep on
coming around.
Come
on, preacher.
I hear you. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? You know, sometimes your talent or your gift places where your credibility or your character can keep you. Yeah, you may have been a gifted to sing. You may be a gifted oracle. But if you ain't got your flesh, excuse me for saying it just like that, but I mean it just like that. If you do not have your flesh under control, as you rise, all the little demons coming for your flesh to pull you back down. Why? Because you are influence. And if they can destroy you, they can destroy your influence and all of those that were depending on you to live right. They ain't supposed to be dependent on me anyway. They need to be dependent on God. Ye are the light of the world, says Jesus Christ. You are the salt of the world, says Jesus Christ. Now, if Jesus said that, that's what you are, then be what he said we can be. Playing game. How soon is the fig tree withered away? This gives meaning to the saying, here today, gone tomorrow. Lord have mercy. Some stuff like that. Here today, gone tomorrow. You know, it's like getting a piece of cake. It's here today, but it ain't gonna last. I had somebody, one of the ladies of the church, gave me a sweet potato pie today. I told her, I said, my wife gonna love it for her birthday. That's going to be good. I say, but I do not see a future for this pie after tomorrow. I say, and the truth of the matter is, if it make it today, past the day, it did good. But it won't see Wednesday. It won't see Tuesday. It's going to be gone. That's the thing. That are here today and gone tomorrow. Lord.
Amen.
But your relationship with God, your relationship with God should not be here today, gone tomorrow. In other words, stop telling folks, I'm going to set my religion down. Wait a minute. Stop, preacher. Go on. Keep on going. Keep on going. So finally, my second question. That was my first question. My first question, going back to it, my first question was, how do other people see your service? Uh-huh. And so my second question is, can they get close to us and still see what they saw afar off? Oh, my Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. In other words, I hear you on the radio, brother preacher, but if I stay next door to you, would I hear you cussing your wife out, calling her out her name? If I stay next door to you, would I see you throwing wild parties? If I stay next door to you, would I see your yard being the worst in the neighborhood? Come on. If I got close enough to you, would I smell marijuana on your breath? If I got close to you, would I see you lusting after other women and you mad? Come on. If I got close to you, can I still see what I thought I saw before all? You know, we say the saying, you talk a good game. Ah, Lord help us. Woo. You talk a good game, but your walk is weak. You know? So can they see what they saw far off when they get close? In other words, do you let people get close? Do you allow people into the circle so that the light of Christ glowing through you can illuminate them? Once Jesus was teaching about an unjust steward, and we're still talking about service. And when it comes down to service, we have to talk about steward or stewardship. So Jesus was teaching about an unjust steward in the book of Luke, chapter 16. I want us to read it together. We will pick up this story at verse 8. However, I encourage you to go back to verse 1 and read it in your leisure so that you can read the whole context of the story. Back to reading. And so before I read that, let me pause there. Before I can read the text, allow me to give a full meaning of the word steward, because I want us to be on the same page. And so in order for us to be on the same page, I must identify my terms. And so let me identify a definition or two definitions of the word steward, if I may. Steward, as a noun, is a person who look after the passengers on a ship, train, and brings them their meals. You know, steward, we call them stewardess and steward. And so they look after passengers. Mm-hmm. A steward also can be a member of a cabinet, staff, a person responsible for supplies of food to a college or club or other institution. So those are the noun version of the word steward. But steward also have a verb meaning. So the noun meaning, a person who's looking after, somebody responsible for doing. And so now, as a verb, steward is an official, a supervisor. Uh-huh. To supervise or arrange, or a keeper, or one that keep order at a large public event. Oh, yeah, that's steward. So the event was organized and steward properly. So the steward is somebody that managed the course of things moving, so that everything is working together. Well, we go to the obvious definition that a steward is a manager, or one that manage or look after another's property. In other words, it don't belong to you, but it's your job to keep it. Amen. To keep it well. I want to say that was the charge of Adam. Adam was given stewardship, because earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. He was given dominion, which is authority. Dunamis is another word for authority. He had authority. He had the right to govern God's property. Well, you and I, as born-again believers today, we are charged with stewardship of God's property Last week I read for you that he said to Peter, Peter, lovest thou me? Peter said, yea, Lord, I love thee. Then seed, stewardship, bringing food, steward on an aircraft or a train or a ship, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yea, Lord, I love you. Feed my lambs. Don't be picky about who you're feeding. Feed them young, feed them old. But if they need to be fed, feed them. Let me digress. Going back over here to Luke chapter 16, verse 8. We're talking about this unjust steward. Unjust. Not a just steward. See, it's one thing if I gave you a comparison of a just steward, you could say, oh, brother preacher, that was hard to live up to. We're going to give you the example from an unjust. And it is already said that my righteousness must exceed those. So if he did a good job, if he was recognized for doing something, then my righteousness should supersede his righteousness because I'm doing what he who is righteous said do. So, verse 8. Let's pick up Luke chapter 16, verse 8. We'll read down to verse 13. King James, verse 8 says, and the Lord commended the unjust steward. Now, for those of you that don't know the story, your assignment is to go back and read the story. Because my emphasis is not on what he did and how he did. The emphasis is on that he did something. He got in a position where he realized there were going to be some consequences, and he did something. He made a move. He didn't just sit there and, oh, it means what I'm going to do. No, he did something. And this is what Jesus was teaching. He said, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. This is what Jesus said. For the children of this world are in their generation, this generation to generation, wiser than the children of light. That's not something for us to be proud of, born again believer. To all my Christians and brothers and sisters, this is not something for us to smile about. But this is something he said. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. That's to our shame. That means we can do better. We should be better. So let's go ahead and do better. Verse 9 says, and I say unto you, yes, because remember I told you, he ain't just making good suggestions, but I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Don't be so holy that you can't have somebody that you know that's unholy, that's not a Christian. Matter of fact, it's only because of some people you're going to know what's going on in the world outside of the church. But you need to know how to relate to people. You need to know how to contact with people. You need to know how to build bridges of relationship. Daniel was not a friend, quote unquote, of King Darius. But Daniel had a relationship with Darius to the point where Darius fasted and prayed for him because of his work ethic. So he said again, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fall, they may receive you unto everlasting habitation. Verse 10, he that is faithful in which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust so in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteousness mammon, who will commit to you, to your trust, the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man, who shall give you that which is your own? Verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other. He will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. But let me pause. I love the translation for the New Living on verse 9. So if I can do a little rewind to verse number 9. Verse 9 reads in the New Living of Luke chapter 16. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. Wow. Wow. Because what I found out, sometimes you'll get better help from them than you would from those that say they're your brothers and sisters in the faith. You go through less drama, less trouble. Finally, this type of service don't just deal with just money. So a lot of times we look at service like that and we think it's just money, tithes and offering, you know. And you're going to hear the church talk about tithes and money, tithing and offering, because the church is an entity that has obligations and responsibilities. And depending on the leadership of that church and the mandate for that ministry, they have the responsibilities of those other overheads and obligations. So that becomes a very focal point. And so a lot of times when they begin to speak on prosperity, you almost think they're talking heresy or something foreign, and some people get upset. But those that really catch on are blessed. It don't talk about just money, but personal talent and wealth. Tipper over here saying amen, preacher.
Amen.
And so it speaks of talent, your time, and it speaks of talent, your talent. What are you doing with your talent? What are you doing with the gifts that God bestowed in your life? See, you can't just throw money at God and the church and say you've done something. But what are you doing with what God bestowed in your mind, in your heart, in your physical being? Are you making use to help others outside of your money? Because for some people, because they have a lot of money, it's easy for them to throw money at you just to get you out of their sight. So we'll stop talking about just your tithe and your offering, but of your personal talents as well. Therefore, yes, you can give God or the church your money, but know that God requires you also. I'm going to say it again. God requires you, me, require us. So allow me to close and come to a conclusion with this verse from the King James, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and he said very clearly, I, it's the Apostle Paul, beseech you, therefore, brethren, to like believers, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, allow me to take that to the New Living. He says, in the New Living, he says, and so, brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your body to God because of all he had done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, them being your bodies, your body, your vessel, a living sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform to all my transgender, the transformation God wants is to transform your life from unholy to holy. Not from one being to another being, but from unholy to holy. But let God transform you, a new person, by changing the way you think, not making adaptations and cuts and surgery on your body. Then you will learn to know. Do what? Then you will learn to know God's will for you. Don't worry about what his will is for me. Worry about what his will is for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Wait a minute. What did you say? God's will for me is good, pleasing, and perfect. God's will for me is good, pleasing, and perfect. I'm going to say it to you all. Get it. All of you. God's will for me, for my life, God's will for Kenneth is good and pleasing and perfect. Perfect means complete. So I'm not half a man. I'm not a quarter of a man. And I'm darn sure enough ain't any part of a woman. I'm 100% man. Because his will for me is good. Will I hit the mark all the time? No. Do I try? Yes. Have I failed? Yes. Do I try again? Yes. And I'm going to keep on trying. Why? because it's pleasing to him that I don't quit, that I keep trying. A just man falleth 7 times and get back up. And perfect. Complete. That means I don't have to go outside the church to find no other revelation for my life. I don't have to see no soothsayer, no root worker, no voodoo, no hoodoo, no horoscope, none of that. And like we like to say here, I am complete. With this being said, God's will for my life, God's will, not my will, but God's will for my life, when I let my mind change to the way he thinks and not the way I think, then I will learn. That means I don't know it all now. But as the old folks used to say, keep living. You will understand by and by. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. I will learn God's will for me. And his will is good and pleasing and perfect. And the church said, amen. Enjoyed this message. I pray that it encourage you. And I pray that it lift you up. And by any means, if you can help somebody else with it, it belongs to you. Share it. I've given it away. I've sown this seed into the ground. That ground be your heart. And as it is being watered through the Holy Spirit, it's going to bring up fruit. And when it brings up fruit, as you find those that are hungry, feed them. Give them the word of God. And that is the best thing we can give anybody, is God's word. I love you with the love of Christ. Hey, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today I encourage you to receive him. I don't know whether or not you're saved. And if you're not saved, I encourage you to be saved. The Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We read over in Romans, that's where we are, Romans 10, 9 and 10, it tells us that if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, as the scripture has said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. So we're not to be ashamed. God loves us all the same, whether we're Greek, whether we're Jew. It doesn't matter. His love for us, the same. Amen. Whether we're rich or poor, amen, black, white, red or yellow, it doesn't matter. He loves us the same. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave. And all you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, you're my sinner. I'm asking you to forgive me of all of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Save my soul, deliver me from the condemnation of eternal flame. I'm asking you to come into my heart and save my soul. I need the Holy Spirit to teach me how to live holy and to live a life pleasing to you. Today, I confess you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Your word says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. and all things become new. Today, I am new, and I need the mind of Christ so that I may obey you in all things I do. Heavenly Father, it is in your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. We love you with the love of Christ. I must give it back over to the hands of those that are in charge of the program. Thank you for listening. I look forward to seeing you on tomorrow night. I am Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, True Word of Faith. You have been touched by the truth. God bless you. Hey, and remember, a greater community starts with Jesus and you. Please be a good neighbor.
Amen. And just want to say thank you all for the prayers about our power situation. That's been resolved, and we're back with our power.
Amen.
And enjoying that. Amen.
Amen.
So God answers prayer. Amen.
Yes, he does.
Amen.
Just want y'all to know that was a good message, and I appreciate that.
I don't know if you were here earlier, but Mikhail and myself adopted two kittens from the Animal Protective League. I have a little boy, 2-year-old. His name is Six Eyes Trumpet O'Hara.
Where is Emily? Did she put y'all up to do that? It done rubbed off on y'all. Y'all adopted kittens.
Okay, I don't know what with you on today.
Uh-oh, sorry. We hear you. Did you hear Missionary Ken was talking when you jumped him, so?
I didn't hear anybody talking. When I made my comment about y'all, Sister, I said, where is Sister Emily? She done rubbed off on y'all. Y'all done adopted her spirit. Y'all adopted.
No. It was when Six Eyes had cut off Missionary Ken. So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to confuse anybody. Missionary Ken was saying something, so I just wanted him to complete it.
No, I'm complete.
Okay.
Well, I was just saying that I enjoyed the whole message, nothing in particular, and it was good.
Amen. All right, anybody else got anything to add?
Well, always, he brings a great message. I just encourage people to listen to it again and download it to memory.
Amen. I agree. For me, I like that message about the spirit of excellence, and that's good. I really, really enjoyed that part about that, and I definitely want to continue to hear this series throughout this month about excellence and being good stewards and understanding that the way we carry ourselves and how we conduct ourselves before others lets them know, you know, how we operate. Are we serving God, or are we serving, you know, the devil, so, or an evil spirit? So I'm definitely looking forward to that, because I think this is a good message. And I always like to say I don't like those whippings from the Lord. So, you know, be on your best behavior. We are adults now, so it's not like we're getting spankings from our parents, even though sometimes our parents have told us in the past, I brought you here, I'll take you away.
Sound like me.
But that's actually God's role, so we can't take God's, you know, what he's in control of, is what I'm saying. Amen. I'm complete.
Amen. Yeah, I brought you into this world. I take you out. I used to have mm-hmm. breakfast and make a, and make another one look just like it.
Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee. Now that part I hadn't heard. I knew that thing and I knew that look. Mom give you that look, you need to shut it down. Didn't have to say no words. So, you know, we know God ain't, he may not verbally, but how you say it, verbally speak it to us like our parents would, but he's letting us know he is in control and we need to operate according to his word. We all sit.
I don't have the Lord say to me, you're not going to do what I said. And I U-turned in the middle of the street. I hit them brakes and turned around so quick.
Uh-huh.
Because it wasn't like I didn't hear the Holy Spirit telling me what to do. I clearly heard him. And had made up my mind, I'm just going to go on to the house. And he said, oh, you're not going to do what I told you to do?
Quick, fast, and in a hurry. You learn. Yes, we do. We do learn.
That's how I got my 300. They didn't have what I was looking for on the lot. I said, Lord, okay, I'm gonna go. And the general manager came out and said, he said, you don't have to leave here empty-handed. I said, well, you ain't got nothing I want. Y'all got my number, call me. He said, no. He said, I got stuff in the bank that we ain't need to put in. It ain't need all the way in the system yet. He said, we just got to bring them around and get everything ready. And I still wasn't happy with that. He said, I got one more. And he said, man, I just put brand new brakes on this thing. All of it. He said, and that's how I ended up getting my Blue 300.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And what was funny was that's how I got my truck, my business truck. The Lord blessed me the same way. My sales person was sending to another customer, and one of the managers came out and said, hey, he'll be right back, blah, 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 what you looking for? I told him, he said, I got something for you. You might want to consider. And I said, well, I don't need nothing too big, blah, blah, blah. He said, no, I think you might like this. He said, from what you're telling me, I think I got the ideal thing for you. and brought it out. Just got finished doing the certification checks on it, all of that, and that's how I got my truck. That silver rock in my house. But the Lord blessed me with it. And so I'm thankful.
Amen to that.
I'm thankful for. You can't tell me what God won't pull out. You know the phrase pulling a rabbit out the hat. You know, God can pull some stuff out, and wasn't nothing magical about it. It was just that blessing had my name on it, so it was in a place where nobody else can claim it.
Mhm. Amen.
So God know how to bless us.
That's
Amen.
True.
Amen.
And you know what? I think I figured out why we had a power problem. It was Emily out there. She was mad at somebody. She hit one of the telephone poles and knocked it down.
Well, you know, she will get a little quick temper.
Yeah, so I think that's what happened. She did that. She knocked down a telephone pole.
We'll go out and talk to Emily.
All right, we got about 6 minutes, maybe five. So before we end the show, I'd like to do the Bloodhound of Scripture and make sure we get the prayer in if possible.
All right.
Amen.
So if y'all are ready for that, here we go.
For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand.
And you notice the Bible says he, that is God, his judgments are just and right, for he has judged the great whore. And of course, when you hear about a woman in the Bible, a good woman is good religion, and a bad woman is bad religion. And we'll hear that verse one more time.
For true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand.
And you notice why he judges her? Because she has shed the blood of his, that's God's saints, at her hand. So he is now avenging them. And we'll hear that verse one last time for our listeners' sake.
For true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his saints at her hand.
All right, anybody know where that is?
Revelation 19:2.
Revelation 19:2, it is.
All right, congratulations.
Okay, thank you. Uh-oh, I'm sorry. Sister Emily, and I miss you too. Okay. Well, thank you. I was trying to get the Bloodhound of Scripture little thing there while
jingle.
I was trying to find the scripture as well, but hey. We know what it is.
All right. Well, here's the one you got to sniff out by next week anyway.
Okay.
Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar.
And you notice? The word says, add thou not unto his words. Bad news when you're adding to God's word. Bad, bad news. You should not add to God's word. You notice he says not to add. And this is not in the typical place that you'd find not adding to his word. So think about it, and we'll hear that verse again.
Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar.
Now, why don't you want to add to his word? Because if you do, he's going to find you a liar. So those adding to God's word, changing it, saying, well, I think this would be better translated this. What you're really doing is adding to God's word, and he is going to find you a liar. Don't mess with God's word. He told you, because you will be found the liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. And we'll listen to that verse one more time for our listeners' sake.
add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar.
And that's what you gotta sniff out by next week. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen.
Good job.
All right. Can we go ahead and get in our closing prayer, even though we're right at that mark?
Why don't we have six do it for a change?
Hey, dear Lord, we want to thank you. First, for allowing us to make the woke list that got us to this point here. We want to have you fix anything that needs to be fixed within us, keeping our repair kit stocked, just keeping us to be great as you are. And we thank you for all you do and continue to do for each and every one of us. Let us pray for mankind. That covers us all. This we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, everybody.
Amen.
Amen. All right. God bless.
Amen. May have a blessed day. Have a blessed week. Join us tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. First Lady Bonnet. Our dear sister.
Happy birthday.
Happy blessed birthday.
You know, it's so unfair. You know, Wolfgang, we would not be happy birthday for First Lady.
Thank you.
She's been waiting for this all year.
Okay.
Happy birthday to the First Lady and my adopted mom.
Hell, if they don't want to even mention my show.
Come on. It's their birthday.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Let's not forget to tune in tonight for those of you that are following the second program. As we go through the complete reading of the Bible with Missionary Ken at 6. Amen. So let's not forget that the second program.
Yeah, go ahead. It's at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
9 p.m.
So you guys telling me you're not going to sing for First Lady Bonnet?
Oh,
no,
y'all
we don't want
sang
you.
For Lady Bonnet. Okay, I'm glad I didn't hang up. All right.
I'm going to get some Q-tips because obviously they can't hear.
There's been a lot of static on the line here at the end.
It sounded like somebody was creating some tape for us.
Ruthie and
like
Ken,
that.
Are you still there?
I'm here, but I may end up coughing in the middle of trying to sing. That's why I'm not going to die.
Oh, my God. Hey, y'all take care. Goodbye. Y'all take care.
Love you all. Take care. We'll see y'all next time on the next program. God bless. Let's not forget. This evening program at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless.
God bless everyone.